Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast. Today, I'm going to remember the life and legacy of Pauline Harthern, who went to heaven a few days ago. We're recording this on November 9th, 2020, the day before her funeral, and I thought it would be appropriate to invite her son-in-law, Benny Hinn, on my podcast, so together we could remember the life of this great godly woman. So you're going to want to stay tuned, and also a couple of friends who knew Pauline very well are also in the studio, and we'll hear from them. So don't go away. This is my way to pay tribute to the life and legacy of Pauline Harthern.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Benny. Thank you for fitting me in. I know you're in the car.
I am.
Hopefully the connection will be okay. But, you know, I knew Pauline Harthern longer than you did because I met her in 1973. And you probably didn't meet her until a couple of years later. And then, lo and behold, you marry her daughter. So you knew her very well. Why don't you just share your thoughts of Pauline Harthern, and I'll share a few things. And then also in the studio is Pastor Ron Johnson, and also Dennis Shearer, who's a longtime family friend. But Benny, you start. What do you remember about Pauline Harthern?
Well, first of all, thank you for doing this, dear Stephen. It's wonderful being with you and my dear friends, Pastor Ron and dear Dennis, who makes me laugh every time I see him. Anyways, dear Pauline is going to be missed. Pauline was very, very dear to me, and because she really won my heart when I met her. First time I met her, by the way, it was 1978 when I came to preach for Roy, who became my father-in-law, of course, her husband. And she walked into the office dressed very elegantly. And I think it was Jean Pauline or someone was there who said, oh, this is Benny Hinn. And so we began talking. I, of course, did not know at the time she would be my mom-in-law one day. But I was so impressed by her elegance. Really, I was. That was the first impression, you know. She was so elegant. She was so classy, so sweet. Then, of course, later, when Roy and I had flown to Singapore, I don't know if you even knew that, dear Steve, I was on my way to Singapore to hear David Duplessis, and Roy was on the same flight on the way back. So on Pan American Airlines, so we were sitting together in first class, and he began showing me pictures of his family, his girls and his son. And then he looked at me, he said, well, what do you think? And I did not know what to say at that time. Well, it wasn't long after that I began sensing and feeling that God wanted me to be a part of the family. So we began talking about me marrying his girl, Suzanne, on the plane. And so we kind of made the deal on the plane that I would be a son-in-law. Then we had to tell Suzanne and Pauline and the family when we came back. But I will never forget when I came the next time, they had asked me to stay with them at their home. I think it was Sweetwater, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right there by Goodings.
Right.
Anyway, so.
Right. That's where they lived back then.
Yeah, I was in there. Now, Susanna at the time was not home yet. She was at college in Missouri. So I'm walking around, and I bumped into a planter. They had some beautiful plants. And I bumped into one of them, and it just was destroyed. Well, goodness gracious, it brought horrible memories, because when I was a kid, I had broken one of the planters in our home in Jaffa, and I really got it from my dad. I mean, like, big time got it. He was a very strong man, and he kind of let me have it. You know, I don't want to scare people, but they used to call it back then discipline. Today they call it abuse. So he whipped me real bad. I mean, I can still feel it, by the way, gentlemen. So he went.
Yeah, but you turned out really good, Benny. So he must have.
I did. He must
have been a good disciplinarian.
Yeah, one day I asked my dad when I grew up. I said, "Now, Dad, why did you whip us so bad when we were kids?" He said, "Well," he said, "you see those trees when they plant them, how they grow crooked?" I said, "Yes." He said, "They put sticks on each side so they can grow straight." So I had to do that for him. So I said, "Okay, Dad, thank you very much."
I remember your dad. I remember him from your wedding. And when was it? 1978. He was a great man.
Yeah, he was a toughie. Well, he was 6'2", guys, so 200 and something pounds. And he was a wrestler or a boxer or something when we were kids. So he was strong. Anyways, so now when that happened when I was a kid, you know, my daddy let me have it. I think, "Oh, my God, what will Pauline say? What will Roy say?" Because Roy came out and he was just messed up over there with the dirt, everything, you know, on the floor. And Pauline saw how shaken I was and how frightened. So she gave me a hug and held me real tight. And she said, "It's okay, darling. It's okay, darling. It's only a planter. Don't worry. We'll clean it." And I felt great comfort because I thought I was going to be rebuked by somebody. And that is when I discovered what a sweet lady she really was. Not only was she elegant, anointed, but she was just such a loving person to kind of give me such comfort at the time. Then later, she asked me to come to, I think it was her Thursday meetings in the afternoon. Do you remember that, Steve, when she would have these meetings at Calvary?
Well, of course I remember it.
I think it was on Thursdays, yeah, and she would lead the old hymns and she would minister deliverance, and so I would go to those. And first time I went, she was leading. I'll never forget this. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." And she was weeping, leading the hymn. And then she went from there to other hymns that she loved, that I also loved. And the presence of the Lord was so tangible. So I went up to her afterwards.
Well, when we did the obituary in on charismanews.com, they asked me for a quote, because of course I knew her for so many years, and I said that what I believe, that she was one of the most godly people I ever knew. I actually first saw her when I was a teenager. I went to Carl Strader's church, and he had Roy and Pauline Harthorn come and minister for some special meetings, and I just remember they made a big deal about the Harthorns, and I guess I was impressed as a teenager. A few years later, when I graduated from the University of Florida and moved to Orlando, we went to Calvary the first Sunday and never went anywhere else. And so Joy and I were 22, and we got involved in Pauline's Sunday school class, which she called Pears and Spares. Now, today that would not be politically correct to call unmarried people spares, would it?
No, not today.
But, you know, we were a young married couple, and we were in that class for several years, probably until our son was born. I think it was kind of more for newlyweds. And she was such a great Bible teacher, and we really got to know friends.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I worked at the Orlando Sentinel the night shift, 4 p.m. till 1 a.m. So I was home during the day, and one day I was walking across my apartment complex and I saw Pauline Harthorn there. She was all, looked like she was lost. Well, a family in the church lived in that apartment complex and she was looking for them. And I went up to her and greeted her and helped her find her way. And probably that was the first time I ever talked to her. But over the years, of course, you know, she was my pastor's wife. So I related to her in that role. When we started Charisma Magazine, she wrote a column. It was called, I think it was called From My Diary.
And
she would write about all these supernatural
yeah.
things that had happened in her life. Some of them back in England, you know, some of them more recent. And she was, you said earlier, she was so elegant. She really was. You know, she had that, Joy and I used to say she reminded us of Julie Andrews. Or she.
Oh, she looked just like her.
She almost did.
Yeah.
And she was always attractive, always very well dressed. Her hair was always perfectly coiffured. Is that how you say it? And in fact, the last time I can remember seeing her was at one church here in the Orlando area. She came in with someone else a little late. I think we were standing singing or something, and she passed me. And from behind, I could see the way she walked. And there was just, I could tell it was Pauline, even though I didn't see her face. I mean, she was just very elegant, almost like you think the royal family. Of course, you know, we're so disappointed in the royals these days, but maybe Queen Elizabeth when she was young. And part of it was that British upbringing. She had very deep roots.
You know, exactly. And you know, she had that depth. That's why she was a worshiper. And in that meeting when she was leading worship, I went up to her afterwards. I said, Pauline, darling, I said, you're a worshiper. That's why we all were so touched by the Lord. But if I may say just one thing, Steve, about Pauline that really impressed me. It was a very painful time for the family at one point when Roy had to leave the church. And we were in Daytona Beach, I remember, at Jim Gooding's condo. And it was a very painful night, very painful night. That dear woman was walking around repeating scripture. I will never forget that. Just speaking scripture and I must be strong. I was really touched by that. I was touched by her faith that night, that she stood so strong. And when we went to the UK together and ministered, one of the greatest miracles that I saw was a man on a wheelchair. He had not been healed in my meetings. We were there for 2 weeks. But on a Sunday morning during communion, when Pauline was ministering communion, God healed that man on the wheelchair. He was wrapped. Gentlemen, he was wrapped in metal like a robot. And that man tore the metal off his body and was completely healed on that Sunday morning. So God really mightily, really, you know, anointed her in a powerful way. And I want to say thank you, Steve, and thank you, Pastor Ron, and thank you, Pastor Dennis, for, you know, being here together to really honor her memory. We're going to miss her. And really, we're going to miss her like. You know, they don't make them like this.
You're right
more
about
friendly.
That.
They just don't. It's so sad. Today's, you know, I don't want to get myself in trouble now, but.
Be careful.
You don't see women like this in ministry anymore, with that elegance, that anointing, that depth. You know, it's really hard to find today. So thank God for Pauline. Thank God for the memories.
Well, when great people pass, you know, of course we want to remember their life. And I did a podcast when Reinhard Bonnke passed away. I did the same thing when Carl Strader passed away, and I just felt this was kind of my way to honor her, even though we've already run her obituary online. And people will listen to this, you know, months and years from now, and it'll just be a way that, you know, I can pay tribute. So Pastor Ron Johnson and Dennis Shearer were in the office today, and I pulled them in the podcast studio. I just want to hear from each of you thoughts that you have about Pauline now that she's passed away. I know, Dennis, you're going to be involved in her service tomorrow. Ron, you knew her for so many years and in so many ways. Why don't you share what's on your heart?
You know, I think a couple of things that stand out about Pauline's life and to me, apart from the things that have already been shared about her elegance and her love for God, oh, how she loved the Lord, but the way in which she stood with Roy and the incredible ministry that they had together. When Calvary was growing at such an explosive rate, of course, most of the time Roy's name was the one that was mentioned, but the reality is that behind the scenes, and oftentimes not so much behind the scenes, there was Pauline and her intense desire to see people walk in freedom. The ministry of deliverance that was so prominent in her life in those hours or those days at Calvary, and the hundreds upon hundreds of people that were brought into a place of liberty and freedom because of her desire to see people walk in freedom. Those are things that stand out to me. And then, of course, later on in life, after Roy's passing, I had the opportunity to pastor her there at one church, and just to see again the elegance, the style, the class, and the love for God. And it was deeply rooted in her heart. And it was demonstrated in her life through the years. And what a privilege to be able to pay tribute to her at her passing.
And Dennis?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Pauline is that her spirituality was also very practical. She was a practical person as well. And my fondest memories, I was thinking of the scripture in Hebrews where it says, concerning the hall of faith, you know, of whom the world was not worthy. You know, and Pauline had a special something to her, of course, but it also, there was a practicality to which she lived life, her sense of humor, her ability to giggle, her ability to just laugh, I think sustained her through some of the most challenging times. I'll leave you with this one. We were on radio once, and we were doing live radio, and we sat down, and I sat down too hard, and the picture came off the wall, hit me on the head. So we went on, and she couldn't gain her composure. Of course, Roy was snapping his finger, come on, guys, come on, come on. You know, and Pauline just never could read the scripture. We both lost it. But I think looking back, my greatest memories of her, I remember sitting with her praying for people in deliverance, and of course, all that. But I will smile again and again at the laughs we had. Because that made her spirituality very practical, because she cared, but she also knew how to laugh when times were pretty tough.
You know, that's very, very touching. Wow. And, you know, as we're reminiscing, I'm thinking of new things about her. Not only did she write a column in Charisma for a year or two, but she had an article in the very first issue. We only had about 500 subscribers, and I think I got people I knew like her. And she wrote, and there was a picture of her. In fact, I'm going to pull it out of the archives and reread it, but it was a picture of her holding the twins. And it was a miracle story having to do with their birth. And it was just, you know, very touching. And, you know, I just appreciated her so very, very much. And we're definitely going to miss her. I feel like this little tribute is really inadequate, you know. But, you know, one other thing that came to mind was that her mother, Lil Skin, was also a very classy lady. And Lil was retirement age, and she would come over and live with Pauline about 6 months of the year, and then the other 6 months lived in England, where she was from. And she was a worshiper, too. We loved to hear her. She always sang at Calvary.
Oh, yeah, she was.
And, of course, she's been in heaven a long time now. And, you know, Pauline took a lot after her. And, Benny, I believe that Suzanne takes a lot after Pauline. First of all, she looks like Pauline. And Suzanne also has a very powerful ministry in her own right. And, you know, you said about Pastor Roy and Pauline being behind the scenes. Well, the same thing with you and Suzanne. You know, we have no idea how much trouble Suzanne has kept you out of. Only heaven will know. Isn't that right?
Well, but, I must say she's more and more like her mother right now as she's older.
Right.
But, you know, please go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to make light of Suzanne and her. Of course, I've known Suzanne since she was 14 years old. And I remember those days when you were negotiating with Pastor Roy to...
I remember your part, dear Steve, if you recall.
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up, but...
I'm sure you remember. I'm sure
you can tell the story if you want to.
Yeah, I do, if you let me. I will.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm from Israel. Suzanne is British. So when we met, I wasn't that wise back then. So the first thing I said to her one day, we were out doing something, I can't remember. I just met her. And I said, you know, I said, you're too white for me. You're too white. And she was really crushed by that. I said, look at your feet. They're too white. And she tried to hide her feet. And which was not very nice of me, of course. I want the whole world to know that I wasn't too smart with that one. So now I flew back to Canada, and her father called me and said, well, I don't know if this thing will work, you know. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, Suzanne, you know, doesn't feel that this marriage should happen, da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, you know, and I didn't know what to say. And I think, Steve, you called me or I called you. I can't
remember. I don't remember either. We did talk.
But you said, do you love her? I said, yes, I really love her. Well, please send her some flowers today. And I did. I sent her flowers, and the flowers saved
the
day.
I can add a few details. She broke the engagement, which to you was a huge embarrassment.
I didn't have to say everything, but it's all
right. And in the Middle East, it probably is. But, you know, my own wife was engaged to somebody before I met her. Same thing with my mother. You know, in America, it's not that big a deal. I was trying to explain it and explain that you needed to win her heart back.
Yeah.
So you had a crusade down in Tampa, and Joy and I drove down, and you were very gracious and had to sit, you know, on the front row. And in the middle of the service, you'd had the grandchildren up, and you were just, you know, having a little bit of fun. And you called me up on the stage, and you told that story in front of 10,000 people. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, dear, what do I say? So when you finished and said that I sent flowers, which I did, you know, this was before the days of 1-800-FLOWERS. You needed a friend in town to take care of it. And so you finished. I said, Benny, you didn't tell him the rest of the story. And you looked at me and I said, you never paid me back. And those people laughed. they held their sides. They were almost falling in the aisles laughing. And the next week, Joy, my wife, got this huge bouquet of flowers at the office from Suzanne. And the note said, Benny says to tell Steve he paid him back. So I just thought that was very, very funny. And
well, there were precious, precious days. We're going to all miss those days. I remember Pauline singing in the Jesus festivals in the tent when I would minister every single time. They were wonderful moments for me, wonderful moments. And she and Roy, you know, they've touched not only our lives, they've touched the world. To this day, I say to the world, the greatest Bible teacher I ever heard was Roy Hart. Yeah.
He was very good.
Yeah.
He sure knew the Bible. Wow, he was incredible.
Yeah, they had a big impact on my life. You know, I grew up knowing their kids, you know, pretty well. Of course, Charles is in heaven. And I know that some of the family will listen to this later. And I just want to express personally my condolences. It's never easy saying goodbye. Even though she lived a full life, she died at age 90. It's never easy to say goodbye to your mother. And so Joy and I both send our love and condolences to Suzanne and Leanne and Elizabeth and the extended family. And I'm just so glad that we were able to take these few minutes. I hope that people that knew and love Pauline will share this podcast with others who might be interested in our very informal reminiscing. We didn't do a very good job of doing a eulogy, but I think that the listener can tell that we truly love this woman, and she was a great example, and we can just thank God for her life. So, Benny, I'll give you the last word.
Thank you, Steve, for doing that. Well, I want to say thank you, Steve, for doing this. Thank you for your love and friendship. And I hope to see you soon. You and I can sit and have a cup of coffee and talk again. But love you guys.
Love you
too,
Benny.
Pastor Ron, dear wonderful Dennis. I'll see you tomorrow. Gentlemen, blessings, blessings. And thank you again, Steve.
Thank you, Benny. And thanks to Dennis Shearer and Pastor Ron Johnson for being on my podcast today. It was a little different, but I think it was what needed to be done. And we said what we needed to say. So thank you for listening. And tune in again tomorrow for another edition of the Strang Report, the podcast to inspire you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.